I'm statements that we've been going through. And this week is our third statement. And you probably guessed from the memory verse that I am the door to the sheep. I am the door to the sheep. And in these seven I am statements that we've spoken about, or the first two that we've done, we've stated that these I am statements were a very specific, clearly laid out and defined statement that is being said. And with that a statement is the act of saying something that is fixed. If I fix something, here's a great example is these walls, and you can see the screws in here. These boards are fixed to this. We're not just going to reach up here and grab them and rip them off, right, Todd? Or you're going to be one heck of a man if you're going to do that, right, John? Yeah, it's probably not going to happen. But those are fixed there, so it means they're not moving. They're not coming apart. They were put there with a purpose and a mind and a specificity. And Jesus, as he makes these seven I am statements, they are fixed statements, something that is true, something that he understood exactly what he was saying when he made those. And so when he begins to speak of being the door of the sheep, he has something very, very specific in mind as he does this. This is actually right on the heels in John chapter 9. Jesus has just performed a miracle and he's healed a blind man. And the blind man goes into the synagogue and he tells them what has gone on and they kick him out. Well, Jesus hears about this. And as he hears about this, he has a conversation with the man. And there in John chapter 9, he asks him one question that really sets the Pharisees' tail feathers a-rolling. There in chapter 9, down in verse 35, Jesus asked the man this. He says, when Jesus heard that they had thrown the man out, he found him and asked, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him, he asked. Jesus answered, you have seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. I believe, Lord, he said, and he worshiped him. That very thing got the Pharisees all tore up. Why? Because number one, he's addressing this man that had just been thrown out of the synagogue. And number two, with the statement that he makes. Do you believe in the Son of Man? That one statement that he makes there really got the Pharisees in a tizzy. Because where on earth does Jesus come off saying that he is the Son of Man? But yet Jesus was very calculated. He understood exactly what he was saying. And so due to that question and the interchange that took place between the Pharisees and Jesus, it brings us to our passage that we're going to read in John chapter 10. And we're going to start and we're going to read the first 10 verses of John chapter 10 this morning. Here Jesus says, I assure you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the door but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The doorkeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own outside, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't recognize the voice of the strangers. Jesus gave them this illustration, but they did not understand what he was telling them. So Jesus said again, I assure you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance." I have to stop there because if I kept going, I'd get into next week's I am statement there in verse 11. All right, so we're going to cut off there in verse 10. As I was reading through this, I recalled that, you know, John 10:10, and Rachel laughs at me because that's one of those passages that I quote quite often. But here, Jesus is very direct in addressing the Pharisees after he's had this interchange with them. And if you take a look in verse 1 of chapter 10 there, here he says, "I assure you." Does that sound like somebody that's making a statement or addressing something and he's wavering on what he thinks? No. He's very direct in what he's saying. "I assure you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the door but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber." When we really take a look at this and break this down, and as we go through this, you're going to understand how very direct Jesus was being with the Pharisees and exactly what he is calling them at this moment. Anybody that ever thinks that Jesus that we read about in the Bible, the Jesus that we follow, the Jesus that is speaking here, that if anyone ever thinks that he was a wimpy, feminine-esque type of individual, they've never read the Bible. Because he is anything but that. He is very direct. He is very strong in what he knows and what he believes. And as he addresses all of these types of statements, he lets us know that. And then here in our passage, Jesus clearly states that he is the door, not a door, to salvation. Let me repeat that. Jesus clearly states that he is the door, not a door, to salvation. See, the Pharisees didn't understand that. They couldn't accept that. They couldn't grasp a hold of that and allow themselves to believe that the Messiah, the chosen one, would be someone like Jesus. But he is being very, very straightforward and letting them know exactly who he is. We see this in verses 1 and verse 7 when he tells them that. "I assure you." He not only uses that statement once, but he uses it twice. In verse 1, "I assure you." Then in verse 7, Jesus said again, "I assure you." So he is being very straightforward with them and letting them know that. But he also goes on to use something in this illustration and in this interchange that would have been something that they are very accustomed to. And he talks about sheep. And so I want to give us a few sheep facts this morning. How many of you know much about sheep? Yeah. See, growing up, we were, the county fairs in Ohio were a real big deal. So we would spend a lot of time, or I would, during fall break, they'd close school, and you'd go to the fair. Well, I had a lot of friends that raised livestock and things. I never did, but I spent a lot of time in the different barns, cow barn, sheep barn, hog barn. And so you got to see the different animals. And there's some certain things about sheep where they're just a little bit different than any other type of animal. And so Jesus is talking about these. And I think it's something that we need to understand exactly what he's speaking of, because we don't see a lot of sheep farmers, sheep herders, and shepherds in Winchester, Kentucky. We don't see people driving sheep down the streets in Winchester, Kentucky. So I actually learned an awful lot about sheep that I thought I knew some, but we're going to learn a little bit more. Sheep are the most helpless of all the domesticated animals. And if given themselves, they will spend all their days grazing and going from one place to another without ever looking up. And therefore, they need a shepherd. I equate this to what a lot of our how would I say this, more so millennials, but I'm even seeing older ones doing this, where they're doing this all the time, and they're running around, and they're looking down, and they don't see where they're going, and they're running into things. In fact, it's getting so bad with this that they're wanting to enact laws about distracted walking now. Because in bigger cities, people are walking around and they're on their phones so much, they're literally walking out into the streets and causing accidents. On construction sites, it's called distracted walking, and the OSHA is coming in to try and throw phones off of job sites because people will be walking on them and there'll be something low and they'll run into it. Or in our line where the elevator shafts are, if they're not paying attention, they'll walk right off and they can plummet down. Now, not DC elevators because we barricade those the way we're supposed to, but, you know. But I think about that as I'm reading this and I'm thinking about sheep and how that it says that, you know, sheep will just graze and they'll look down and they'll just wander from place to place, only eating, having no clue where they're at. And so as a result of that, sheep are natural followers. If they see one person do it, they'll do it. So sheep, if they're in a group, and if one of them walks off a cliff, then the rest of them go. You know that statement that your mom used to always say? Well, if everybody jumped off a bridge, would you do it too? If you're a sheep, yes, you would. Sheep are so bad that they don't have any, what I would call a homing device. That there's the door, and if I tell you, you walk out that door, and it's going to lead you to where we're having lunch, they don't understand that. So they'd be sitting right around here and know that that door is right there, but they can't find it until the first one goes and then the rest of them follow. So they're natural followers. Second thing about sheep is that they won't defend themselves. Sheep won't defend themselves, so they're prone to injury or easy to slaughter. If a predator gets in the midst of them, a lot of animals, when they go in packs, they do that to protect themselves from predators. But with the sheep, they all congregate up together, so it makes the wolves, if they get into a pack of sheep, very easy to kill not just one of them, but all of them at once, because they won't fight back. They won't defend themselves. They won't even scatter. They'll come closer together, and it makes them easy pickings for the wolves. So they're prone to injury and to slaughter. A third thing about sheep is that they have a fear of moving water. They have a fear of moving water. If there's moving water that's around, they'll get so frightened that they'll fall into it and they'll drown because they don't swim, not to mention, especially if they're not sheared, it'll just soak up in that wool. Anybody ever have a wool coat? Know how heavy it is? When I was in high school playing soccer, we had these wool uniforms, and they were awful. And I remember playing in Athens, Ohio one day, and it's cold rain, so probably about a 30-degree rain. And I'll never forget because my jersey just soaked up all the water from the rain, and it felt like it was just, I'm wearing a weighted vest. Now, back in those days, I was all of about 5'10 and maybe 130 sopping wet with a brick in each pocket, so you can imagine having a wool-soaked jersey, what that's like. But these sheep, they get afraid of it, and so they won't drink even unless it is extremely still, calm waters. Think about Psalm 23, where the psalmist there says, he makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. See, the psalmist there, David, was a shepherd, and he said that very knowing very well about what he was talking about. Not that we're ever compared to sheep in any way, right? Fourth thing about sheep is they're dependent on the shepherd. Sheep are completely dependent on the shepherd because shepherds are providers, they're guides, protectors, and constant companions. Without the shepherd, the sheep would have no idea where to go. They'd never lie down and rest. They'd never get the water that they needed. And so they are completely dependent on their shepherds. And number five, about sheep, they know the shepherd's voice. Even when there are multiple herds in one pen, when the shepherd calls his flock, the sheep know his voice and follow. It's very custom for in the villages and all in the cities that there would be multiple herds that would show up into one pen. But when the shepherd would come, he would just say whatever command it is, and his sheep would come. The others would stay, but his would come. And Jesus is speaking about that. When he talks about in our passage here, he says, the sheep know the shepherd's voice, but they will not respond to the voice of the stranger. So although sheep can be very dumb animals, they're a very loyal animal at the same time. And it's important for us to understand this about sheep because Jesus in Matthew 9:36, he says this. He said, when he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were weary and worn out like sheep without a shepherd. And so understanding these facts about sheep brings a little bit more of an understanding to what Jesus is meaning there in Matthew. It brings a little bit more of an understanding to what he's meaning when he's talking in this passage and he comes and he says that he is the door to the sheep. See, Jesus stating that he is the door was a deliberate contrast to what the religious leaders were saying. As he said this, he's being very pointed with what he's saying. Look in verse 10. I assure you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the door but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. In verse 7, I assure you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. You see, when he's saying these things, he is making a very deliberate contrast to what it is that the Pharisees had been saying and to the things that they believed. But what does that mean, that he is the door to the sheep? Well, there's two types of pens that they would have known about. And when they're outside the villages and they're out in the fields, they would have a sheep pen that's built with rocks and it has one gate at the very front of it. Deb, go ahead and throw that picture up here. It would look something like this, and the shepherd would literally lay down in front of the door to make sure that no predators got in or out, and to make sure that none of the sheep got out. So when Jesus is saying, I am the door, he's saying, I am the only way for the sheep to get in. And the only way for a predator or someone to get in, aside from that open gate, is to climb over the sides of these walls. And if you climbed over the sides of the walls to get into this, it meant that you didn't belong and you were nothing but a thief or a robber trying to steal the sheep. So when Jesus says, I am the door to the sheep, I'm the only way you can get in, I'm the only way you can get out, I'm the one who protects you, I'm the one that leads you into the pastures. See? Much like what he had said. How many of you have been to the Ark Encounter? Anybody seen that? If you haven't, you have a chance to go. It is worth seeing. It is one big boat. And it is literally a huge boat in the middle of nowhere. When we pulled up to it, you could see it a long way off, and it made me think, man, that must be what a lot of people thought when Noah was building this thing. But I was thinking about this as we were talking about it, because there's one spot in the Ark Encounter where they've got this huge door, and it talks about the door being the way. And Ken Ham does this huge curriculum and everything on the door, and I was trying to figure out while we were there, what is he talking about? But as I read through this passage and I saw this picture, I began to think about God's protection for Noah and his family was through one door. And there was only one way in and one way out of that ark, and it was through that single door. One of the I Am statements that we'll take a look at later says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so Jesus saying, I am the door of the sheep, says so much to us. It should give us such comfort to know that He is willing to do the things that we need when we don't even know sometimes what we need. He's providing that for us. The psalmist understood in Psalm 23 when he says he lays us down beside the still waters. Though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are my rod and my staff. Yeah, sheep can be a little bit needy. They can be a little bit interesting. But the shepherd loves and adores the sheep. And so when Jesus is saying this, he's being very, very straightforward and letting us know that salvation is only possible through Jesus. No, I understand even today that's not a popular statement to make. That's not a popular opinion. It wasn't a popular statement or a popular opinion when Jesus was making this statement, but it doesn't change the truth. And whether it's popular or not, the truth is the truth. And the truth of the matter is that salvation is only possible through Jesus. There is no other way. That's why he lets them know very specifically in verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and out and go and find pasture. When I think about that, it's not just that we're saved and we go to him, but he says that we will go in and out and find pasture. What do the sheep need? They need good pastures to be able to find their sustenance, to be able to continue to live. And that Jesus is there to not only save us, but then to lead us in and out, to not only protect us, but to give us the things that we need and to allow us to find pasture, not just to sit up in the little pen and sit there all nice and cozy. So as I read through this passage and I take a look at this, it means that even outside of here that we are to learn, we are to be strengthened. We're to be encouraged as we're here, but then we are to go out into the pasture, outside of our four walls, outside into our workplaces, into our schools, into our homes, and we will be equipped to do the things that we need. In Acts 4:12, it says this, because there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people, and we must be saved by it. Because anything apart from Jesus is a thief or a robber. It's all counterfeit aside from Jesus. And you all know people, I know people that have tried every other angle that there is. They've tried everything else that they could find to try and substitute for who Jesus is and what he's done. whether it be work, whether it be food, whether it be exercise, whether it be drugs, whether it be alcohol, whether it be relationships. It's all counterfeit, and it's nothing but a thief or a robber aside from being with Jesus. That's why in John 10:10 it says, a thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy, but I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. You see, because when they try to go over the wall, when they try to get in outside of the way except through the door, where the doorkeeper allows them in, they're just trying to steal things. And they become a thief and a robber. So when Jesus is saying this to the Pharisees, when he's making this statement to them, he's blatantly calling them thieves or robbers because they don't believe in who Jesus is as the Son of God. And as he uses this illustration about the sheep pens, they're very familiar with this because it's something that they see all the time. For us, maybe not so much. But there's so many things that we do see that are comparable to what they were witnessing. How many times today do we see those that are trying to get us to follow this way or a way? Oh, that's not so bad if you do that. And they want to try and convince us, and there's just enough truth in what they're saying that it makes it sound right. But in fact, it's completely wrong. Those are what we call modern day Pharisees. But Jesus is saying, listen, I'm the way, and I'm the gate. The goal of the Pharisees was a counterfeit destruction. They wouldn't think that. They wouldn't say that. But in all honesty, that's what it was. Jesus understood that. He knew that. And he confronted it head on and allowed them and all that would listen to him to know what the truth truly was. What are we going to choose this morning? Will we choose destruction or life today? Will we choose counterfeit or the reality today? That's what we're faced with every single day of our lives. And I don't foresee it getting any easier. I don't foresee it getting less invasive and in our face. I listen to my kids and the things that they're told. I listen to the things that they say about some of their friends and what keeps them from being able to have the conversations with them. But the truth of the matter is we have to make a choice. Are we going to be people that stand on the truth? Or are we going to be, as Jesus has called them, thieves and robbers, and trying to compromise because we want people to like us? If I can be honest, I've felt that one a lot in the last couple of days, and I can't even tell you exactly where it came from. But there are things and times where the enemy will come to do exactly as it says in John 10:10, to steal, kill, and destroy. Comes to steal our joy. Wants to kill any of the fruitfulness that we've had, to destroy the very thing that God has built in us. And that's why we have to do what it says in James, that if we'll draw near to God, he'll draw near to us. Then we must resist the devil, and he must flee. We get to resist him. But we've got to draw near to him. Why? Because Jesus says, when the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, I've come to give you life. And so it becomes a life and death situation. And every day, every instance that we're going, and I'm not trying to make this sound, over dramatic, but the truth of the matter is that we do that. That's why the Bible talks about it. Why do you think superhero movies are such a big deal? It's good and evil, right? And everybody likes to see the good guy kick the crap out of the bad guy, right? I mean, I learned that from a young age. Superman sticking it to Lex Luthor, right? Why is that so popular? Because it's a truth and it's a biblical thing. It's light versus darkness. It's good versus evil. And we are on the good side. But we have to make a stand against that evil. And when we make a stand because of what Jesus has done, the evil cannot win. It cannot stand against the light. But we have to be willing to resist. That's the thing. So many times we think that, well, God's going to take care of all that for us. Well, He already has once and for all on the cross. He took care of it. But then He's empowered us to be able to walk it out, to be able to resist the things. You see the difference? Otherwise, we just become passive sheep that sit in the pen and do nothing. So what are we going to do this morning? Will you choose destruction or will you choose life this morning? Will you allow God to be the door to the sheep or not? That's what we're faced with this morning. Let's pray. Father, I thank You this morning that Your word is truth. I thank You that Your word is alive. And I thank You that no matter what we may be facing, what may come our way, the God, that You have set up Your kids to win. Lord, that's why Your word says that we are more than conquerors for those who are in Christ Jesus. But God, it takes a choice that we make. Will we follow what You say and who You say that You are? Just as we started this morning in John chapter 9, the question that Jesus had asked to the blind man that was kicked out of the synagogue, do you believe in the Son of Man? He replied, I don't know who the Son of Man is. And He says, it's the one that is speaking to you right now. And His response was simply, I believe. That same question is here for us this morning. Will you believe in the Son of Man? And if your question is, well, I'm not sure who He is, He's the one that's been speaking to you this morning. As we opened up His word, He has spoken to you this morning. As you open up His word every day, He is speaking to you. Will you believe in the one who has spoken to you today? And will you choose that life? As we sing this song, if there's any need that you have, prayers that you need, we're going to ask that you'd come up and that you would allow us to pray with you. But if not, I want you to sing this song and I want you to respond to the Lord. I want you to give Him your heart this morning and I want you to allow Him to do what He is so good at. And meeting every single need that you have.
If you'll stand with us. I give You my life. I give You my trust. God, and You are enough. take it all, my life in your hands. My heart is yours, my heart is yours. Take it all, take it all, my life in your hands. My heart is yours, my heart is yours. Take it all, take it all.
Us to do something this morning. It's a little bit different. I don't know that we've done this before, but it's going to take you moving out of your seats a little bit or close to somebody. Would you just get near someone this morning? Gather up in twos and threes and just span things. Victor, you can walk on back. Yeah, come on up, Stacy, and get here with Jay and Kimberly and Jay. Mark and Emily, come on over here. And I want you just to stick your arm on the person's shoulder. And can we pray together? I've just had this sense this morning. You know, we call these family gatherings for a reason. And there's times when family needs to just rally around each other. And just a simple touch on a shoulder like this allows us to know that we're not alone in what we're going through. And that we do have those that are with us. And as you're doing this, I want us to remember those that you're touching now to pray for them this week. Because we need each other's prayers. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you this morning for the things that you're doing. And Lord, I just thank you that we are truly family, those of us that know you as Lord and Savior. Father, we are family and the members of the family of God. And Lord, I thank you for this Oasis family. Lord, I thank you that there are those that are going through things, but that there are those that are there to walk through these things with them as well. Father, I ask that even as we are ending this morning and as we're praying this morning, that people would know, each and every individual, each and every little cluster that's here would know that they're not alone and that there are those that are here to help. There are those that are here to walk with. Because, Lord, your word says that a three-string cord is not easily broken. And, Father, with each other and with you, we form that three-string cord. And, Lord, I just ask that we would all be strengthened to be able to spread the gospel into our realms of influence, that we would be strengthened this morning to be able to not just make it, but to endure and to have life-giving opportunities throughout our days and our weeks. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your protection, and thank you for always speaking to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, always remember this. Don't forget to get your kids, number one. And number two, remember this, that God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. Have a great week, guys.